For several years after Richard Nixon resigned for deeds that emerged through journalism, enrollment at journalism schools ticked upward. That's the story I heard when I arrived in journalism school. Fast forward a few decades and the world is different. Many people get their news from the internet and don't pay for it. The journalism business has a hard time making money, but the appeal of covering the world, troubles and triumphs both, still speaks to some students. Our first guest today helps train them and also finds that journalism training for students before college helps them in other subjects. Ed Madison is an assistant professor and media partnership coordinator at the University of Oregon SOJC School of Journalism and Communication. He's our guest in this month's edition of Curious, where research meets radio. Ed, good to have you on The Exchange.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So a long career in media, journalist, executive producer, director, entrepreneur, started several companies. I have to ask first about your time at CNN. You were really present at the birth, weren't you?
Yeah, I was all of 22 years old, fresh out of college. I studied at Emerson College and had the opportunity to be part of CNN as it launched. I'm not sure we knew that it would become what it's become, but it was just great to be a part of that. I was in the Los Angeles bureau in charge of entertainment news when CNN launched, and so got to be a part of covering everything from, you know, John Belushi's death to Natalie Wood. I mean, you know, names that don't mean much to students that I teach today, but it was an incredible ride.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, I'm feeling my own late in journalism school twinges about, wow, yeah, those were big names when those things happened, but a long time ago. Certainly for the perspective of today's students. I just wonder then, Ed, what the last 2 years have been like for you watching CNN rise in prominence again and be in the middle of the political storm. I mean, at some times, do you wish you could have been back there?
Yes and no. In all honesty, I take exception to some of the choices that have been made by the company recently. Hiring Donald Trump's former campaign manager, Corey Lewandowski, yep. I thought was a questionable move based on just the accusations charged against him and allegations and everything else, and the fact that he basically refused to really be clear about what his existing relationship was with the Trump campaign during the time that he took that contract at CNN. That market forces unfortunately make it very complicated to be sustainable in the cable news sphere, and they've made some choices that I think are great, and they've also made some choices that, like that one, that I thought was not necessarily so good.
So I have heard anecdotally from an instructor at SOU, Southern Oregon University, about more enrollment in journalism classes since last year. Are you noticing any trend like that at the U of O?
Well, I would say that our enrollments have been strong consistently, I think, but when you look at our school, the program includes advertising, public relations, media studies, and journalism in the traditional sense of it, but also in the innovative sense of it. I mean, our students were the first to create an iPad magazine, 7 years ago. As the iPad was coming out, we got our hands on the new Adobe tools, and that's just one example of the kind of innovation that, I think, attracts students to our program. Also, I would say when I look out, on an audience of, let's say, 150 or 200 undergraduates, and I ask how many of you have an interest in working in traditional, media or news, not a lot of hands go up. I think our students are equally intrigued with the idea of working for nonprofit organizations and causes and things that they think are important in bringing their storytelling skills, to those types of outlets. However, I would say, yes, certainly since the election, the presidential election, we are seeing students coming in and saying, I feel this calling, this sense that I want to be a part of basically, being transcribers of history, really the first transcribers of history, and being a part of journalism and where it's going. So it's an exciting time. I think it's a renaissance time for journalism, and people are paying attention in ways that they hadn't before. I mean, when was the last time people knew the name of the education secretary,
For better or worse, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Excellent point. Ed Madison's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. This is our monthly Curious segment, Curious Where Research Meets Radio, our collaborative with the University of Oregon. And that is where Ed is an assistant professor and media partnership coordinator in the School of Journalism and Communication. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So I can imagine over the course of campaign season and through the election and beyond, some very spirited discussions in classes. I wonder how you channeled student energy into their work.
Yes. And I want to say that it becomes an interesting area in terms of navigating how you do that and also be inclusive of students who, may have views that are different than your own. You know, it's not our job as professors to, promote our own personal beliefs. We want to be an inclusive classrooms, have an inclusive classroom setting where students can feel welcome to believe whatever they choose to believe. And so that makes it very interesting in terms of just navigating some of those more complicated conversations about just what's going on in the news. It gets interesting.
No doubt. There's so many different endeavors that go beyond just, day-to-day journalism that you're involved with at the School of Journalism and Communication. Just in general, how would you describe the kinds of ongoing projects and initiatives that you tend to gravitate to?
Yeah, well, one that I'm very excited about is something called the Journalistic Learning Initiative. And this is a program that we are doing in high schools and middle schools, starting in Oregon, but we'll also take on our first school in Los Angeles in September. And the notion behind this is that, the Common Core state standards, which are, controversial for some, state that by the 12th grade, that students should be engaged with 70% of what they're reading and writing be nonfiction. And so for teachers who entered English, because of their love of literature, that many of them don't know what to do with that. But journalism becomes a very perfect complement, and it engages students at the area of, or at the level of the current events and things that are relevant for them. So we've been working with sixth graders, 11-year-old kids, in Junction City, Oregon, where they get to pick a topic and that's of their interest. And I should back off and really say that this is one of the kind of key parts of this. A lot of times, in education, we talk about reluctant readers or reluctant writers, kids who seem like they're not interested. And the question I always ask is, what are we asking them to read and what are we asking them to write? If you start out by having a child, you say, okay, what are you interested in? Well, maybe they say skateboarding. We might not think that that has any educational value, but hey, they're writing. and you get them started on that track, and then you move to other areas in subject matter. And we're finding it's commonsensical in one sense that that if you ask a kid to write about something that they're interested in, they're going to do it without much prompting. With my own kids, my own son, just if you ask him to do a report on Stephen Curry, he'd come back with a book the next day. So it's just that sense of starting with that. So we're doing that program, and we've got a lot of support at the state level. We're starting to get funding, additional funding. We've got some initial seed funding for it, and that's the thing I'm most focused on right now is the Journalistic Learning Initiative. And
So, in fact, you wrote a book about this kind of effort called Newsworthy.
Yes.
What kind of impact do you see on grades and engagement generally with schoolwork as students apply journalistic type skills to that work?
So both engagement is extremely high. We a few weeks ago had the students, again, these are 11-year-olds. Okay. So they picked a personal topic the first trimester. The second trimester, they picked a social justice issue, and some of them picked, they're in groups of four. So one group picked cancer. Another group picked, PTSD and veteran affairs. Another group picked homelessness. Another group picked animal cruelty. And so they have to identify an expert on that subject, and then you know, because they're 11 years old, it's really hard to take them out on field trips and things. And so we use Skype to bring experts into the classroom. They manage the conversation. They have their little press passes and notebooks, and they basically hold a virtual press conference where they get to interview this expert. And then following that, they write up their findings after taking, you know, based on their notes. And then it's published to the web. And it's a wonderful way for these kids to really engage with, you know, real world issues, explore these kinds of topics. And the engagement level, I mean, you look into a class of 30 kids and, you know, maybe one isn't engaged. It's really phenomenal. And then in terms of their grades, you know, it's we're seeing that's being impacted, you know, in a positive way as well. I think that one of the problems that's occurred in education, and part of this I would say is, you know, due to No Child Left Behind, is that we got into a situation where we overemphasized the importance of testing, high stakes testing, and so therefore you've got a lot of situations where teachers are, you know, using worksheets and asking kids to fill in the blank as opposed to actually asking them to write. One of the reasons for that is because grading is labor intensive. It takes a long time to grade essays. And so, you know, there's a whole litany of, I could say about, you know, just about on that topic. But I think that finally we're at a place, where we're starting to back away from this notion that high stakes tests tell us anything other than that kids know how to, you know, kind of game the system and study and guess, you know, multiple choice answers. It doesn't tell us that they can think.
Ed Madison's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, assistant professor and media partnership coordinator at the University of Oregon School of Journalism and Communication. He's our guest in this month's edition of Curious, where research meets radio, our collaboration with the University of Oregon. And you can join us as we talk about journalism and how journalism affects education K-12 for people who are not necessarily going to be journalists themselves, but helps improve the way they use their skills in investigating the subjects they're working on. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. You know, it sounds like subject matter is certainly part of the motivation, but I wonder, too, what you notice about the effect on students when they know that if they're doing a journalistic type thing, that other people will see their work, not just the teacher.
Absolutely. And that is the piece of it that's, I mean, I think the only thing when I was growing up that we had somewhat like that, I mean, I worked on the school paper too, but it was a science fair. You know, it's that authentic audience, the fact that you're not just turning something in to be graded, but that your peers in the community are going to see it and, you know, people tell you, hey, I read your article. It makes such a difference. You know, I had the pleasure of stumbling on to a program at Palo Alto High School, which has kind of really been the foundation and basis of my work, about 8 years ago when I was just trying to figure out what my dissertation topic was going to be. I was invited to a conference and I met Esther Wojcicki, who runs the program at Palo Alto High. And they have some 500 students out of 1,800 engaged in some form of journalism, producing 10 different publications, you know. And, of course, it's across the street from Stanford and around the corner from Facebook, and it's a highly affluent community. But I was intrigued by, you know, was this an anomaly or is there something going on here that can be applied to students that are far less privileged? And so that was the basis of my study, and I talk about that in the book. And the answer is yes, that there are some best practices there that don't require the shiniest, latest, you know, computers or high technology that you can apply. And we've done that here in Oregon, for example, at Roosevelt High School in Portland, where we've done, you know, digital skills workshops and things like that you know, we've documented and made available to other educators that are online. So it's amazing to see.
So how widespread is the Journalistic Learning Initiative? I mean, you mentioned a couple of high schools and going to L.A.
Yeah.
in September. Is it still sort of just a few places here and there?
Yeah, so this has been our pilot year. We're at two schools in Oregon. Currently, we're going to expand to five more in September here in Oregon. And then we will also be in our first school in Los Angeles. And The intent is to scale it nationally, and we have the resources and the momentum to do that. So it's pretty cool.
So this is journalism to help education and other subjects and help students sort of generally. I want to bring it back to J School now and talk about how challenging it is to keep up with the technological shifts and the audience shifts and taste changes and all that, and yet still stick to the fundamentals of journalism, particularly when you see, like, well, as you mentioned, CNN hiring the Donald Trump campaign manager to be part of their newsroom there.
Yes. Yes. This is the conundrum in an ever-changing landscape, when people have so many choices of what to watch and how to watch and when to watch, and you know, anyone with a phone can start a live stream and attract eyeballs or an audience. It becomes a problem, because at the end of the day, when there's a major news event or a catastrophe of some kind, people still gravitate to mainstream media. They go to the legacy, media sources, CNN, NPR, the networks. But the notion of sitting around the TV and watching, Walter Cronkite or Lester Holt, is just a gone era. I don't think we're ever going to come back to that. And so it becomes a question of habits. I think one particular issue is that, we used to all share this sort of common narrative about what was going on in the world if we watched the evening news, and now people can choose the flavor of their choice. And so if that is Sean Hannity, then that's your choice. And if it's Rachel Maddow, that's another choice. And so you've got people, choosing their individual choices, but not ever necessarily challenging themselves to be exposed to other points of view. I try to watch all of it, just to kind of see what's going on. And I think that's a problem that we are facing in terms of how do we, entertain ideas that may be a little different than our own. And I think that's how we grow. If we only just listen to and watch what we already believe in, it doesn't allow for growth.
I wonder among your students, though, Ed, if rather than even looking at the likes of Sean Hannity and Rachel Maddow or whoever they would not normally gravitate to, if there's even that much looking at real time broadcasting where you have to sit there and watch and listen versus being able to go into social media and just hear what other people are saying and get really short capsule descriptions of it all.
Yes. And, there's this notion that for whatever reason that some people think that millennials aren't engaged or they aren't paying attention. I don't find that to be the case. But again, I guess when you're in a school of journalism, then you should have an expectation that people are following issues and things. I think that, again, this current political climate has people paying attention in ways that they weren't before. And that's a good thing. But it's... then it becomes a question of, honestly, I think people say, okay, well, all this is going on, but what can I do about it? There's a sense of, for young people, people of all ages, that, sort of the system is run amok, and that there's too much special interest and all kinds of, ways in which our values, our democratic values, have been compromised. Look at Citizens United and other cases that are allowing a lot of big money to come into politics in ways that weren't allowed before, mm-hmm. And I mean, that's a whole nother conversation. But I think that regardless of one's personal political views, I think that perhaps the election of Donald Trump shows that people were just ready for a dramatic change, and they wanted something that was going to be radically different than the status quo and the way things have been. Mm-hmm. Whether they got what they wanted, that's up for debate. But nonetheless, I think that signals just a shift in the fact that people just really have been fed up with just gridlock and a lack of action and decisive action on whatever they care about.
Ed Madison, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, teaches at the University of Oregon School of Journalism and Communications. So back to the SOJC, I just wonder what it's like to train people for a profession in which honest people do honest work, and yet you could still get yourself called fake news, even if you're doing your best stuff.
Yeah. We talk a lot about, transparency being the new objectivity. So, journalism has been this notion, and it's actually not that long-lived a notion of objective reporting, that somehow I'm going to leave my biases at the front door and I'm going to come in and tell this story. And, it's actually somewhat like this sort of scientific method.
Right.
You can be this sort of dispassionate observer who just reports the facts. And, I don't know how realistic that notion ever was, but I think what we're seeing now is journalists who are transparent about their perspective and are willing to, for the most part, practice ethical journalism and be fair. That's different, and I think that's why some of the. It's also an issue of distinguishing the difference between commentators and newscasters. So when people say, I don't trust the news media, what are they talking about? Are they conflating what Sean Hannity does with what, CNN and Don Lemon does? And there's some opinion. I mean, Don Lemon, obviously, I think he's fairly transparent about his perspective on the news. But I think, there's a difference between a newscast and a commentary show, where you've got pundits who are being paid to basically, talk about their perspectives as opposed to tell you what happened today in the world.
Mm-hmm.
The difference. And I don't think people make that distinction.
Yeah, something obviously that needs to be taught rigorously in journalism school, which I'm sure you're doing. Ed Madison, Assistant Professor and Media Partnership Coordinator at the University of Oregon School of Journalism and Communication. And the Journalistic Learning Initiative has its own website, doesn't it?
Yes, journalisticlearning.com.
Okay, and good stuff to listen to. Ed Madison, thanks for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you.